Gospel of John is different. Where the other three Gospels focus on the sequence of events and the words of Christ, which is extremely significant. If the events in Jesus' life and the words that he spoke were not significant, then we wouldn't have three Gospels that focus on the events and the words, and there is much to learn there that the Holy Spirit has given us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But when you get to John, John is an altogether different gospel, and if you were to read all four through, you would not be able to get through John without recognizing, hey, something is different here. And let me tell you what one of the key differences is in the book of John. John's focus, guided by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, his focus is not necessarily just on words and events, but John, in the book of John, the Holy Spirit gives us the significance behind the words and the events. That we are shown in John, the Holy Spirit backs the scene out and shows us not just what is happening on the ground and what Christ is saying, but John is showing us how that changes everything. He is showing us the significance of what is happening in the life of Christ. So because of that, because that is a focus that the Lord has given John, John can't start with a baby in a manger. John has to start long before there ever was a baby or there ever was a manger. And so the first words in the Gospel of John are, in the beginning. Now, you've heard those three words before. Where else have we heard the three words, in the beginning? Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. And John intends for you, when you read those first three words, John intends for you to automatically, in your mind, go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created. Now, this is a book about Jesus. This is a book about the life of Christ. But here's what's happening. John is saying, you are not going to be able to understand the significance of what I am about to describe to you until you understand who Jesus is. There's a song, a hymn that we sing. Ronnie just mentioned Christmas songs. And look, man, Christmas songs are still good in my book. But the Christmas song that we sing, it goes like this. What child is this who laid to rest in Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds' flocks are keeping? What child is this? Who gets to be born of a virgin? Whose birth do the stars proclaim? Who is this little boy? John says, let me tell you. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if you lived in Roman times, if you lived in the time of the Pax Romana, where Rome governed the world, and there really was a peace, and there was a flourishing of literature and a flourishing of thought, then you would read that phrase, in the beginning was the Word, and that phrase, the Word, you would recognize that right away. That would have been a familiar concept to John's original readers right after the birth of Rome. The concept of the Word represents all of truth and reason. The Word, if you were to read anything about Greek philosophy, the idea of the logos, that's the Greek word, the idea of the Word, that stands for truth and reason. They called it the Word because that is what distinguishes, at least in their mind, and we can understand what's happening here. You take truth and reason, and you want to show how truth and reason distinguishes humans from animals. What can humans do that animals cannot, that shows we have reason and we have thought and we know truth? We speak. And so the word, it shows our ability to comprehend truth, our ability to reason. And that makes us different than animals. That distinguishes humans from all other creation, that we talk. Now, not just can we understand truth and reason, but wrapped up in this idea of the Word. Now, follow me here for just a second. I am not a deep thinker, and so there are people who do, they go way deeper than this. But I want you to understand, if I have the ability to understand truth, if I have the ability to reason and to make decisions, then my thought process comes out in speech, in words. And what am I doing when I speak? Not just do I have the ability to think and to reason, but what am I doing? I'm communicating. Not just do I have the ability to think and to reason, but I have the ability to communicate that thought and that reason to you. I can communicate with you so that you are able to hear my thought and my reason. You're able to know my personality. You're able to understand the thoughts that make me decide the decisions that I'm making. So wrapped up in this concept of the Word is my ability to think and reason and understand truth and to communicate that to you so that you know me and I know you. In the beginning was the Word, truth, reason, and God communicated that. Now, that's a little bit on the philosophical side. Let me bring this more practically, because we still use that word. We still use it in the same way. It goes like this. If I want you to trust me, what I will say to you is, I give you my word. I give you my word. Wrapped up in that phrase is not just a promise, but when I say to you, I give you my word, what that entails is my character, my trustworthiness. Your reason to trust me is what? My word. And so that's the way that the Lord is, that's the way that John is describing what's going on here. In the beginning, before anything, before God even said, let there be light, in the beginning was God's character and God's personality and God's truth and God's reason. And God was communicating that. God was letting himself be known. Who is God? What is God like? What's important to God? What is truth that God has established? What is true of him? God was communicating that in the beginning with the Word. He was giving us his Word. Now watch this. This is very interesting, because John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, that's very interesting, because if you are with somebody, you can't be somebody to be with somebody. There has to be two somebodies, right? If you're with somebody, that means that they're there and you're here and you're with them. So this Word is somehow separate from God because it was with God. But then he comes back and he says, and the Word was God. This Word, the truth, the reason, the personality, the character of God that is communicated, that we can know. It's separate from God, but it is God. How's that possible? We get to verse 2, and here's what he says. He says, he was in the beginning with God. This word, the character of God, the truth about God, who he is that was communicated, this word is not a principle. It's not a concept. It's a he. It's a person. That God took his personality, and God took his character, and God took his every truth about him, and he communicated that in a person, in a he who was with him and who was him. There are some things that we don't understand about that. How can that possibly be? How can this person who completely espouses all of God's character and who lets us know who God is, how can that be a person separate from God but the same as God? I don't know. And you don't either. And if you think you've come up with a way to understand that, then you don't understand the problem. But here is the truth that we know, that our God exists as a Trinity, that there is a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit, that our God eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Spirit. The Son is not the Father, and the Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father, the Spirit is not the Son, but yet there is one God. I don't know, but I know it's true. Here's what the verse is telling us. How do we know what the Father is like? Has God allowed us, has he spoken to us so that we can know him, so that we can understand him, like I understand another person, or like you understand another person? Yes, God has allowed his creation to know him. How? Through Jesus. Jesus is, as Hebrews says, the radiance of his glory. Jesus came, as John is going to tell us later in the book, Jesus came so that men may know the Father. God spoke, and his speech is Jesus. All that God is, Jesus. Now, let's keep going. I'm going to come back, and I want to make this a little bit clearer, but follow me here for just a second. Look at verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Jesus is not just the communication of all that God is. Jesus is not just the way that we know the Father, but Jesus is the creator of all things. Jesus created everything that has been created. Jesus did that. So here's what I want us to understand this morning. What we need to understand is that when we talk about Jesus, we are not just talking about a baby in a manger. We're not even just talking about a man on a cross. As significant as that is, we need to understand, we're not just talking about a man on a cross. If we really want to be reminded of who Jesus, of all of who Jesus is, you need to walk out in that parking lot and turn around and look at Fleming Mountain behind us. And you need to say, the one who set the foundation of that mountain, Jesus. You need to go to the ocean, as my family did for a little while this week. And you need to hear the crashing of the waves. And you need to watch as a sand dune is destroyed by wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. And you need to know, you know who gave those waves that power? Jesus. You see, we look at this cute little baby laying in a manger, and we are tempted to forget. He made it all. That's who Jesus is. That he is God. And he created everything. And you know what? We can know him. And man, and we can spend time and we can see him at work in our lives. But we would do well to not forget that this Jesus, who we know and we love and we worship and we celebrate his birth and his death and his resurrection, we would do well to forget that he created it all. All of it. Jesus. Now he goes down. He keeps going. And he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, we just read that Jesus is the creator of all things, that everything that has been made was made by Jesus himself. Now he gets a little bit more specific, and he says that Jesus is the source, not just of creation, Jesus is the source of life. That if you have life, whether you be a monkey or a tiger or a gorilla or an amoeba or a man or a woman or a child or a baby, if you have life, it came from Jesus. And I want you to notice something here about this verse. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, Jesus gives life, but he is more than life. He is the light. Now, why do you need a light? Why would you ever need a light? If you were in the dark, right? If you were in the dark, what you need is the light. Jesus says, I am the light. Why? Because we're in the dark. Here's what he's saying. He gives life, but there is more to life than just physically breathing and living. That there is life beyond just physical life. And what he is also saying, all that's wrapped up in that verse, hold on, follow me here for just a second here. That you can have life, your heart can be beating, and your lungs can be breathing, and you can be watching with your eyes and thinking with your brain and be in the dark about real life. Why? Because Jesus is the light. What happens if you're in a dark room and you can't see? You don't understand. What else is in this room with me? How do I navigate through this room? What resources do I have? What am I supposed to do in this room? Is this room the kitchen? Is this room the bedroom? Is this room the bathroom? What am I supposed to do in this room? If you're in the dark, you don't know. And it's up to you, if you're in the dark, to just kind of feel around and try around and see if you can figure out what you're supposed to do. That's what physical life is without Jesus. See, Jesus is God. Jesus created all things, and so it is through him that we can understand at all the life that he has given us. Without him, it's dark. Think about all of the questions that we have about life. What is the purpose of life? Why am I here? What would make my life valuable? Why is this happening to me? Why have I been put in the family that I'm in? Why did this happen yesterday? What about if this happens? What am I supposed to do tomorrow? All of these questions about life. How is my life significant? What am I supposed to do in coordination with somebody else? Why am I different than that person? See, all of those things, pretty much on your own, you're in the dark. Hey, figure it out. Jesus is the light. Because if he really is all of God's character, and he really did create all of us, and he really is the one who gave us life, then he is the only one that can answer all of those questions. He is the only one that can tell you, what is the purpose of your life? What is the significance of the gifts that you have? Why did that happen? What am I supposed to do when this does happen? He is the one who can turn the lights on so that we understand. But without Him, no life at all. Not real life. John 10 says that Jesus came, why? That they may have life. Now step back for a second and let's look at what John has just done. John has just told us, what is Jesus' relationship with the Father? Who is Jesus to God? Jesus is God. Jesus is the communication of all of God's character. Jesus is the only way that we can know God at all, know anything about God, through Jesus. What is Jesus' relationship to all of creation? He is the Creator. He is the one who gave it, who made it. What is Jesus' relationship to people? He is the source of life. And you know what? He's not just the source of life. He is the revealer of what real life is. He gave us life, and He reveals life. That's what light does. It reveals life. So Jesus, His relationship with God is He is God. His relationship with all of creation, He's the one who created it. His relationship with us is the source of life and the revealer of life. Now, look at verse 5. In verse 5, John stops talking about who Jesus is, and now he begins to talk, and we're going to see a lot of this in the rest of the chapter. He now begins to give us a picture of how He has been received and what our response to Him has been. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here's what has happened. Men have been given life. Jesus came to shine the light on real life, to reveal real life. This is who God is and what He has made, and here is His intention and His purpose and His plan for you, for your life. But it says, New American Standard says that the light did not comprehend it or did not understand it. You might have a different translation that says the light did not overpower it. The idea there is, now follow me on this for just a second. The idea is, there actually is a word that would better translate it, but they don't use it because it doesn't make any sense on the surface. The word really needs to be translated, the light did not grasp it. Now you can use grasp in a couple of different ways. The light did not grasp in terms of intellectually or mentally grasp it, meaning understand it. Or you could say the light was not able to lay a hold of it, grasp it, which means if I lay hold of you, that means you're in trouble, right? The darkness was not able to grasp, to lay hold of the light. And the idea there is to do violence to it. It can be both. You know what? On our own, what has happened to us? God created us. God gave us life. On our own, naturally speaking, are we interested in what God says our life we should do with our life? No. You know what we're interested in? We're interested in what I want to do with my life. I got plans and ideas for my life. I got an idea of what will make me happy. And I tell you what, if I think it's going to make me happy, that's what I'm going to do. You created me? Well, that's great, but I'm the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul, right? What did man do? Man said, forget it. Man didn't understand it. Man couldn't grasp that God created us and Jesus reveals life. But man also cannot lay hold of it. The darkness cannot defeat the light. It's always going to be there. Jesus is always open. The light is there. And if we will open our eyes to see who this Jesus is, and that Jesus gives us life, that He is the source of life. Not what I think, not what feels good to me, not what I want, but Jesus and His way and His plan and His leadership. Here's the truth. Isaiah says that when it comes to the light and when it comes to the life, all we, just like sheep, have gone astray. We've each gone to our own way. Jesus came to buy us back. But ultimately, before you get to the cross, before you get to the manger, we need to understand, what child is this? It's not just a baby in a manger. Not just a man on a cross. He is God. And He is Creator. And He is the one through whom we can have life. Life at all. If I were to get a job washing cars, the man who hired me would be the source of my job. And he would also be the revealer of my job, because what he would say is, I'm going to hire you to do this particular task, and I'm going to show you how I want you to do it. I want you to start with the roof of the car, and I want you to come down on the sides of the car, and I want you to end with the wheels. And then I want you to wax, and you go like this, like the Karate Kid, right? That's the job that I have hired you. I'm giving you this job for this purpose and in this way. Well, that's great. So I go to work the next day, and the customer comes up, and there's his car. And I don't really want to wash cars. I think texting with my friends on my phone is a whole lot more fun than washing cars. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sit in my chair while the customer waits, and I'm going to talk on the phone, text on the phone. And I'm not going to do what I was given the job to do. And now the man who is the source of my job and the revealer of my job comes to see how I'm doing with the job. And when he finds me sitting in the chair, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose my job. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That is true because you were given life, and that life had a purpose, and that life had a revealer. But if you do not do what the one who gave you the life to do, then you cannot keep it. Jesus came to give us life. He died on the cross, and took our punishment, and He rose from the dead so that we could have a new one. If you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, then what has happened is you have been given a new life. The old one is gone. It is buried with Christ, and you have this new life. Now that I've been given this new life, what do I do with it? Jesus. We need, the only source of life is to know Jesus. Where do I find Him? He's the Word. I find Him right here. What do I do with this life? He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He bought you with a price, and now He intends to be the Lord of your life. Why? Because He's the source of it. He's the revealer of it. He is God. That's Jesus. You can't start with a baby in a manger. You can't even start with a man on a cross. You have to go back to the beginning. And we have to say, wait a minute. Jesus. is my life. He is it. He is our life. Father God, I thank you that you have revealed to us who Jesus is. And God, I pray that we would never forget it. God, that we would never take him lightly or view him commonly. God, I pray that we would never neglect him because our need is so great for him. God, I pray that we would never give in to the temptation to make life what we want it to be, but to find our life in him. Oh God, how would we know these things if you had not written them down? God, we wouldn't know this if you hadn't written it down for us. And now, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And let me encourage you. Maybe it is that you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and you need to today. You have been doing everything that you want, and you have not cared at all, or not been interested at all, or not even understood at all what God created you for. And you have, like sheep, like all of us, have gone astray. And you need to look to Christ, who is your life, and to the price that he paid and the life that he can offer you, and trust him as your Savior. That is your only hope. And if you have never done that, you need to today. Brothers and sisters, it may be that you are looking to Christ as your Savior, as your ticket out of heaven, but not as your life. Even though he really is. He is your life. And there needs to be a time where we come before him and we acknowledge that the things that I have done on my own, God calls that sin, and I confess it and repent of it and say, Lord, you now be my light and I will follow you because you are God, you are the source of my life, and you are the one who reveals real life, and I need to follow you. Maybe that needs to happen in your life today. If it is, don't leave without making that right. Let's stand and sing.